God is good. If something's happening in your life right now, I'm going to say it one more time and I want you to actually shout it out. God is good? That's it. Make a statement. That's done. The worse your week, the week is, that the louder that statement needs to get, amen? I just realized that, you know, there's no point fighting the enemy. Just keep giving him the name of Jesus and let it do what it's supposed to do. Amen? God is so good. April is here. Winter is around the corner, supposedly, after a 27-degree spring day. But I wanted to speak to you about this morning is just something that God has actually just been expanding in my life and expanding in my spirit. And it's nothing that is of great revelation, but it's something I just feel like God is saying, I can't move on. And last week I had the privilege of being down at Planet Shakers for 6 days and just being able to speak with some leaders and some pastors and things like that. And I began to realize that, do you know, nobody is, as much as the churches look magnificent and the, you know, the stadiums look awesome, no one has been protected from hardship. Can I hear an amen? When you think and you see like so many great big bands and, you know, so many great big things and you're like, God, it looks and feels easy here. And then the next thing I know is God has planned me to have coffee with one of the pastors who's like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm just tired. And I was like, God, it makes you just feel so normal and just realize that we're all on a journey. And we were talking with Tawana that somewhere between 8 a.m. when we meet here and 10 a.m., the anointing falls on this church and then worship turns out amazing. Can someone say amen? Amen. I just love the fact that if you were here for practice, half of you would leave after practice and going, if that's what worship's going to be. But the Holy Spirit hasn't done all of his job. He says, because when I'm there in completion, when I've come to do my stuff, it doesn't matter what you sound like, for as long as you've given me permission to overtake. Can someone say amen? How many times do we pick songs and we choose songs? We do it prayerfully. At least I know in this church we prayerfully come up with a song list. Sometimes we're just picking songs because we're just like, God, help. But it's just, you know, God directs it all the time. And I just realized, and I just, as I began to prepare this week, I was sharing with some of the girls that I kept meeting up with. I was like, I couldn't get anything. Usually when I come out of a conference, I've got like 2 months worth of sermons up my sleeve. And I came out with nothing, a statement. And on Thursday night, with a migraine coming on, I was like, God, I'm the only one in church that's preparing for a sermon. So somewhere between now and Sunday, you need to give me something to go down. And it was like he was just saying, I've been working on you for the last couple of months. What do you need a sermon? Just start to speak for what God is doing. And for anyone who knows me, I speak from exactly where I am in my life. Life's going fast. And if we don't start to get some things into action, life is going to pass us. Because things aren't just going to happen. We've got to start making some difficult choices. Can someone say amen? And I want to show you where God is in your choice making, but I want to show you where your responsibility is this morning. That amazing verse that we've read constantly in our life, I think I learned this verse as a little girl. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I spoke about this when I was talking a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to just sit on this scripture this week and next week a little bit. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. We know that. We know that off by heart. We know that through every storm we're going through. We know through every chapter we're going through. We decide to just go on this, go, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So this morning I want to keep breaking down this scripture. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I can't even remember when I spoke, sometime before Easter, I spoke to you about breaking down this scripture, and the Greek version of the word evidence means, does anyone remember? Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I had to look over my own notes to get the full thing. Evidence in the Greek means correction. And so correction means something that is currently inaccurate and is to be proven correctly. So when you read that scripture, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, and it is something that we are currently inaccurate for what we're seeing today, but is to be proven correct. That's what faith means. So we read this scripture and we go, faith is the hope of the substance of the hope, things hoped for and the evidence. But it is actually saying that God says, I spoke to these in the men of God, into the men of faith. And I said to you that actually, when you walk through the chapters of your life, there's going to be evidence of things that are not inaccurate. the things that are not accurate for what I've spoken into your life. There are things that are not accurate for what I've said to you're going to have. It's when you're not seeing healing and God has spoken healing. That's inaccurate for what your body's telling you. When you see debt in your life, but God has said, I've spoken that I am your Jehovah Jireh. That is the inaccuracy that the world is bringing upon us. Can someone say amen? So the substance of faith is the fact that we have evidence that what is happening today is incorrect until it is proven to be correct. And I just love that, and I kept going. But I want to give you a scripture this morning, Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. I know you've read it all before, but I want to take you through with this morning. It's up on the screen behind me, so follow along. And God said to Abraham, as for you and Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and I will give her a son, but I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham, don't laugh at this. Then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. I am right here with this brother. Then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I've blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him and God went from Abraham. I just love the fact that God says, I said what I said, that's what I'm going to say, and I'm going. See you later, Abraham. How many times in our life does that exactly feels like that? You feel like God is saying, I'm going to tell you, I've called you to be this. I'm going to use you in this area. I'm going to use you in that area. I'm going to call you to do this. I'm going to call you to have a business. I'm going to call you to raise a family. I'm going to call you to raise. And then all of a sudden God disappears off the planet. Am I speaking to anybody else? Or is it just me and God's relationship? Okay. She was old. So what Abraham is laughing about is nothing that really is not is accurate. She's old. That's the truth. But God said, what I'm bringing is got to come from her. What is inaccurate today is to be proven correct. What is inaccurate today, but hold on, God, she's 90 years old and I'm 100. Let's just think about the big picture here. There's things that aren't working as well as they were when he was in his 40s, 50s, 60s. Let's even go a little bit longer if he's made it to 100, around his 70s and 80s. The logic behind it is laughable. But I love the fact that God just walks away. He said, I've said what I've come to say. And I love what Abraham does because this is so what I do. And Abraham said to God, oh, I get it. You must mean Ishmael. That's what you were meaning, right? And I just think that God goes to Abraham and says, yeah, I realize that you thought you should have a part two to my story. So you thought I might have a plan B. And in case I couldn't come up with what I promised, you came halfway and you decided that you were going to have a son so that I would look good. God says, I don't need you. So he turns around and says, oh, you mean Ishmael? I'm sure you mean Ishmael because that's the son that I have. And God says, oh, no. I know what you did. Ishmael's there. Good on Ishmael. And I'm going to bless him because he was innocent. Ishmael in the whole storyline, he's completely innocent. So because of his innocence, I'm going to bless him and I'm going to use him. And out of him will come nations. Great nations will come out of him. But the bottom line is that I said that your wife, Sarah, was going to bear the child that was going to bring great nations. I'm talking about what I told you, Abraham, from the very beginning. See, just before we get this part of the picture, God has downloaded to Abraham what he is to be called. He said, Abraham, you will be the father of many nations. You will be blessed when you go in, you'll be blessed. He turned and sat there and he said, I'm going to use you. Boy, this is it. I'm going to set you up for life. Abraham took that. All right, that's okay, God. Use me. Use me. Then this part comes. And Abraham's, oh, that can't happen. And he's laughing at the whole situation. My promise is that Sarah would bear you a son. The promise is that 12 months from now, Sarah will have a son. And when he finished, he left. The scripture says, let's go back to that scripture. Now, faith is the substance of hope. So I've given, broken down the first, second part of it, where we talked about correction and needs to be proven till it's correct. But the first part of this scripture says, now faith is a substance for hope, correct? Luke translates that in the Greek and he says this, he says, but faith is the substance. Can I tell you what it says in the Greek for the word substance here? This is why you just need to learn. This is why we come to church, because someone else is breaking it down. But the word substance in the Greek is a sorus. So go to the next statement, guys. It says, but faith is an assurance that the evidence of what you are currently seeing is inaccurate, but will soon be convicted to be proven correct. So let me read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 again. It says, but faith, it's faith. That's your assurance that the evidence of what you are currently seeing is inaccurate. It's an assurance that, yes, God says, I get that what is happening right now contradicts everything that you think I've spoken over your life. Faith is the assurance that the evidence of what you're currently seeing is inaccurate, but it will soon be convicted to be proven correct. That's what the Lord spoke over us. Can someone say amen? So faith is a substance and it's an assurance that what God said, it's coming to pass. So he said, I know you've got your plans. I know that you're working out another system. I know you're trying to work out how is God going to sort this issue out. But God says, I spoke, and what I spoke, that is coming to pass. I never changed my mind. I never changed the direction. What I said is going to happen is going to happen. So I want to spend the next 25 seconds in your brain going, God said that I would see. That is not changed in the eyes of God. Can someone say amen? God says that I would see a family. God says that I would see a business. God said that I would see a teacher. God said that I would see a business come from me. God said that I would see this come from me. That is inaccurate right now, but it's going to be proven because it's an assurance from God. Can someone say amen? That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's but the faith of your assurance that you know that God has spoken. It's an assurance that you know everything about what I'm seeing is contradicting everything that I feel God has spoken. But it is an assurance that God has spoken. But faith. So when God is walking away, let me tell you what he's doing. He's allowing your ultimate belief to come through. See, God spoke to Abraham. He said, son, listen, this is what I've said to you. I'm speaking it over again. I told you, yep, you've got Ishmael. You had your backup plan. I'll bless the backup plan. But my original plan is still in place. And he walks away. What happens when God walks away? It's to establish your belief. What rises up is what you start to believe. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It says this, let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature, be free from the love of money, shun greed, be financially ethical, be content with what you have, for he has said, listen to this, I will never, under any circumstance, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So God moves away from your picture, but God says, don't you dare let the enemy tell you a lie that I've gone. Because I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And he said, I will never, never under any circumstance desert you, nor will I leave you without support. In any degree, God says, I'm there, right there with you. But I got to let your faith come to its assurance right now. Can someone say amen? I've spoken what I've spoken because God says that when his word goes out, it cannot come back to him invalid and it can't come back to him in vain. It's got to go forth and said, whatever I've spoken, it's up to you. What happens now? You are now carrying those words. I've spoken them into your being. I've spoken them over your family. I've spoken them over your finances. I've spoken it over your study. But you now are the vessel of the carrier of those words that I've spoken. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to leave you through it. You're going to go in a storm through this situation. You're going to go through hardships in this situation. And you're going to see mountaintops. But at the very time you see a mountaintop, who knows that the valley's right behind it. But God says, I will never desert you. He walked away. But we know where he stands. He walked away, but we know where he stands. The house is still coming. The job is still coming. The family is still coming. The business is still coming. The scholarships are still coming. The breakthroughs are still coming. The miracles are still coming. What God has spoken has to be an assurance deep in your spirit that he has spoken, and what he said shall come to pass. He said it so many times, what I've spoken, that shall I bring to completion. Did you find anywhere else where he says, well, in case it doesn't? No, because he knows of what he's spoken. He's spoken it over a vessel that is well able to manifest what he has spoken. What he has spoken is over a vessel that can manifest what God has spoken to. Can a business come from you? If he said it can, it can. Can a family come from that womb? Yes, it can. If God said it can, it can. From the situation that is currently inaccurate, God has spoken an assurance over you. The enemy is doing everything he can to tear down your belief system. Because listen to me, your belief system defines who you are. Your belief system defines who you are. It defines who you are. And guess what? If it defines who you are, then it also defines who you are not. If your belief system defines who you are, it also defines who you are not. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, another great scripture that we all read. What does it say? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But listen what Paul's saying. In the greatest of his persecution, he said here, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I know that I can through the words that God has spoken to me, through the assurance that God has given me. Paul is not saying it's all about me. He's saying, no, I need Christ's strength through this, but I can do it. I can move from this situation. I can see myself moving out of this situation. I can hold on to what God has said is going to take me through. I can. Some of us need to get a hold of that this morning. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God says, I'm strengthening you, but you've got no belief to think that you can actually move into that season. Can someone say an amen? I can believe for you. I can speak it to you. But do you believe that you can? You can actually do what God has called you to do. You can actually move where God has called you to move. You can actually raise up the people God has called you to raise. You can do it. Paul is saying, from the depths of the pit where I am, I can see what God is trying to do. And through his strength, I can do all things. So we begin to think that people are successful because they're better than us and they're greater than us. No, they're just more confident in who they are. They're just more confident about themselves. They're not necessarily more gifted than you. And we're in enough business places to realize that that's got nothing to do with us. Who knows that people, some of the most unqualified people are getting positions all around them. That's because they're showing a confidence that only no one can explain. You don't have anything more than what they do. They just think differently than to you. You know why? Because everybody comes into this world the same way. And they're all going to leave the same way. We all came through a mother's womb. And we're all going to leave through the same door called death. But what you do with what he gave you is completely up to you. Our entrance and exits are all the same. From the poorest person on planet Earth to the wealthiest person, we will all have the same entrance and the same exit. But what we do while we're here and with what God has given us is up to you. Because the situation you are seeing or facing does not define your destiny. Sarah is old. Don't pray spiritual on me. She's old. She's 90. And God is not speaking about giving her a restful life. God is saying, guess what? Now's the time that I'm going to give you children. Excuse me? That's the plan? But God says, you don't understand. I need to show you and Abraham, who are going to raise up mighty generations, that I will do what I said I will do. And this is extravagant and this is incredible and this is impossible in the natural realm. But who said that God is moved by any of those elements? Out of you will come kings. I speak over this church this morning. Out of you will come leaders. Out of you will come teachers. Out of you will come businesses. Out of you, people have still got to see children born. Out of you, people are going to see marriages come together. Out of you comes going to see people that are going to rise up in areas that you never thought was possible for you to rise up. People are going to see things that have never, ever been accepted in their family before come through you. Current situation, old, barren, and impossible. God says, perfect situation for me. God is going to use just the vessel he's got. You know that story, and I know I've only got a couple of minutes. You know when God speaks to Gideon? I just want to go there really quickly. Judges 6:12. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, this is what the angel said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Listen what he said. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all your wonders that our ancestors told you about and where they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, I love the fact, Are you done speaking, Gideon? Okay. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that I've given you. This is nothing else. This is nothing about you, Gideon. I know I've come to see you in the wine press, but this has actually got nothing to do with you. Go in the strength that I have given you and save Israel out of the hands of the Midian hands. Am I not sending you? God just completely went, I'm bypassing everything. Let's speak to your destiny. But you know what? He continued, pardon me, O Lord, Gideon replied. After God has said, get it, Gideon. I'm not going to leave you. You got this. Go for it. Go in the strength I'm getting. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in the man. You know what the story says. Gideon wants to talk about everything that he's just gone through. But God said, I don't want to talk about that. If you want to talk about that, let's just talk about that. But I want to talk about where I'm taking you. I want to just get to the point that, yes, you're in a situation that is inaccurate for what I spoke over, but a spoke over is what I've spoken over you, and that is where I'm heading you. Now rise up and get out of here, mighty man of valor, and go in the strength that I've given you. Can someone say amen? We can sit here and have a discussion about what you're going through and the storm that is preceding itself right now in your life, but God says, I'm going to tell you that I'm not going to leave you through this season. I'm going to take you through the season, but I'm telling you, you're still a mighty man of valor, even though you feel that your current situation is proven inaccurate, but it is an assurance because you got faith. God spoke to him. Or we can begin to talk about God, this and that. Listen, today's complaining is tomorrow's captivity. Today's complaining is tomorrow's captivity because you are what you tolerate. Today's complaining is becoming tomorrow's captivity. Samuel Rodriguez spoke that and it hit me like a ton of bricks. But guess what? I had to make a decision. Every time I started to whinge before God, why I started to complain, I had to center out. That will capture me tomorrow and I need a breakthrough of this today. So instantly I had to learn how to drop it. You are what you tolerate, because when God shows up, he speaks. Not only to define you, but to define your destiny. Two objects can't occupy the same place. Two objects cannot occupy the same space. Love and fear cannot occupy the same space. Defeat and victory cannot occupy the same space. Love and lust cannot occupy the same space. Quitting and success cannot occupy the same. So which one do you believe? Because that is occupying your space. You got to make a choice today. What are you thinking? What are you believing? Because whatever you're believing, that is currently winning in your battlefield. But as of today, I'm asking you, is what the doctor report said, is it correct or not? Is the fail mark that you received the final mark that you're going to receive? Is the visa rejecting correct or not? Is the job rejecting correct or not? Are you being barren is the end of your story, or just being married? Is that the end of your destiny? You're making the choice of what happens next. Can someone say amen? And this can go into a whole different point of what you sow is what you're reaping. But the bottom line, God is going to move away from your situation because he's saying, I need now for your faith level to rise up and I need you to see your belief system, because that is defined what happens next and what begins to unfold next. Can someone say amen? You choose, because what is inaccurate today will be proven correctly, depending on an assurance you are expecting. But you got to know that what you're believing, you are accepting. And what you are accepting, you are receiving. I'll say that again. What you are believing, you are expecting. And what you are expecting, you will be receiving. You got to change your belief system because it defines who you are. And that's why God says, I'm moving just aside because I'm letting that belief system come up. He spoke to Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor and you need to go in the strength I gave you. I get it, but I'm going to see you through this. What has God spoken over you? What has God spoken over you? And God gave me a warning just as I call the music team up. When we speak about Sarah, the Bible says that she was 90. What if, just throw at me some words about what when you think of Sarah. She's what? She's old. She's weak. She's wrinkly. She can't bear a child. She's barren. She's sterile. Do you know what the Holy Spirit convicted me of? The word barren is not in there. The word barren is not there. God never addressed her from barren. So he said, why have you added something that actually is not there? I never said she was barren because barren means to be sterile, which means can be unproductive and cannot grow fruit. Barren means to be incapable of producing. If she was barren and incapable of producing, God would have said that. But he never said she was barren. Abraham said she was old. Never in the scripture did God say that she was sterile or barren. We assumed it. We assumed it because of what we could see. Now that looks like the facts, but what we have learned this morning, what we are going through this morning, that what we are seeing is very possibly inaccurate. But the correction is coming where it will be proven accurate, says the Lord. It's coming to pass. This morning, all I want to do is for you to turn around and go, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I really don't know how you're going to do it. But I want you to surrender that one statement, and turn it around and say, I don't know, but I trust you. Because you do know. You know, he does know. He knows exactly how it's going to happen. He said he knows from beginning to end. He knows exactly how it's going to happen, and he's not going to give you the details. Because who knows that through the details you will quit? Because according to us, our personality, our DNA, we feel that we would never be able to do that. Oftentimes in my own journey, I remember praying to God, God, I'll do anything in ministry, but ever, I don't want to be a pastor. I was telling God, let's get this clear from when I was a young girl. Anything. I did kids' church, I did youth, I did cleaning, I did everything. I not want to be a pastor. And this is not something, I don't want to be a pastor. I was adamant. So who knows if God never gave me the details or never said that was going to happen. But to think that I could have been a pastor and a preacher as a single woman, oh, you got to be kidding me, God. So who knows that God has a plan and he doesn't necessarily give me the details, but the vessel that is spoken over knows how to walk in the confidence and assurance of what God has said. Can someone say amen? All I've got is an assurance that what I've been given I can do. Can I do it well? Probably not as bad as someone else, but can I do it for as long as God gives me a mic? I'll do it. I've just got an assurance that if God will use me, I'll go forward. If he would have spoken to me, and often said, God, if you would have told Dad that I was going to be single, maybe he would never have called me to rise up in the ministry. But God never told him that I was going to be single. Because otherwise we would have put our barriers in that. Amen? We would have done things. And he's like, no, you don't understand. The journey is her journey. And that's between me and her God. Will my chapter change? I don't know. Will my story change? I don't know. Did you think you could do this without being married? Did you think you could do this with a spouse being divorced? Did you think you could do it with a spouse passing away? Did you think you could do it? No, you can't see it happening. But God knows that you can do it because what is spoken is coming to pass. Let's stand to our feet this morning.